I started a message last Sunday called Revival Now. I want to continue it today and talk about fervent revival. Fervent revival. That's strong in my heart because when I look at our world today, I see the promise of God to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. I see the promise of God to bring about a revival that our nation has never seen before this time, before this season, or that the globe has ever seen, to bring a revival. So last Sunday we talked about Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. Dispensation has to do with the administration and the managing and the stewarding of the fullness of times. And the fullness of times has to do with the completeness or the coming to the end. Now, the end is not yet, but the end is near. Hello, somebody. All right? And we know that God Himself is the administrator of and the manager and the steward of those fullness of times, in which He has promised that He will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh, bring revival to our world. How many of you know we need revival? I can't help, every time I get down to pray, the things that I find myself praying about, and even in the Spirit, is God, send revival, pour Your Spirit out on this earth. And loose the love of God in powerful ways. So God is the governor, He's the governing one of these times. And we're to look at these seasons the way that God looks at this season. God doesn't look at this season of time as one of great defeat or struggle or battle. He's looking at this season as the greatest opportunity of fulfilled promise of God to happen that has ever happened on the face of the globe. Come on, amen. How many of you, God has given you promise for something? This is the season for the fulfillment of that great promise. But we talked about Romans 12:11, where the Bible says that we're not to lag in diligence, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Have a fervent spirit. Fervent meaning zeal, or literally white hot. Having fire, the fire of God in our spirit man. That, how many of you know that's a reviving? Are you all here? Maybe I need to speak in a different language or something. Maybe I need to speak French this morning. I don't know French. Or German. I don't know that either, sprechen Sie Deutsch. But just stay with me in spirit. Fervent in spirit. This is a very extremely important principle of serving the Lord in this season, is to have fervent spirit. Somebody say a fervent spirit. All right, which is the breath of God serving the Lord. And then we looked at 1 Peter 4:7-8 that says, "But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers." Be sober, be serious. We got to understand, this is a serious time. It's a real serious time. For people that are going to hell without Christ, it's a really a serious time. And people who have no hope, it's a real serious time. And for us who do have hope, it's a very serious time for us to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. It's a real serious time, all right, to proclaim the word of the Lord. In this fervency of spirit, all right, let's finish our scripture. And 1 Peter 4:7-8 said, "Above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." And so one of the first things we talked about as far as revival is concerned is when God brings a fervent spirit within us, lights us on fire with the Spirit of God, one of the first things that happens is a fervent love. A fervent love. I mean, literally, he'll fire up inside of you a love for himself, all right? First of all, let's go there. Matthew 22, verse 37. The first thing is a fervent love for God. And the Bible says we shall love the Lord our God with all our heart and all our soul and with all our mind. And the book of Mark adds, with all of our strength. And make sure that we're operating in a love that's on fire for God. One of the first things that I find when I get down to pray about things is I find the love of God stir up in my spirit for the one I'm talking to, the one I'm communicating with, and come out of my spirit in worship just to magnify the Lord. We're first of all to love the Lord with fervency. Fervency. That means more than anything else in this world, more than our families, more than our possessions and our belongings. We're to have a fervent love for God, a fervent love for Him. That fervent love for God is what brings us to a place of prayer. That fervent love of God is what takes us to the Word of God every day to find truth. That fervent love for God is what stirs up a worship inside of us, that we magnify the Lord with all of our hearts. That's a reviving. That is revival. A fervent love for God. A white-hot, on-fire love for God. Amen. All right? A love for the Lord. Matthew 22, verse 38, continuing on, says this is the first and the great commandment. That's the first commandment. All right? Love the Lord your God. It's the first commandment. It's the first priority. Somebody say priority. See, that's got to stir up a passion inside of us in this priority for the Lord, of this fervency for the Spirit of God. Because we live in a world, we can get distracted by a lot of things and that would steal away our love relationship with God, our love relationship with Him. And we've got to be very, very careful that our love for the Lord stays on fire. Stays on fire. That's what brings you to the house of God. That's what puts you on your knees before the Lord. That's what humbles you before the Lord and as you are pursuing and crying after Him. The second thing that we began to talk about last Sunday was that that fervent spirit, secondly, has fervent love for others. I want you to look at somebody around you and just say to them, a fervent love for others. Now I want you to look the other direction and say, God is giving me a fervent love for others. All right, this is very important, and that profession of faith is extremely important, a fervent love for others. Now, there's a couple of categories. Let's look at the first one, and for others, it first of all has to do with the body of Christ, with people in the body of Christ, you and I, a fervent love for one another. All right, verse 39 of Matthew 22 says this, and the second commandment is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you really consider it, you really think about this, every one of us love ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We provide for ourselves. We make sure we get food. We make sure, we have our hygiene's taken care of, that we have clothing, and we make sure that we've got a roof over our heads. Every one of us have a love for ourselves. And don't ever let the devil put you in a place where he tries to talk to you into believing that you are no good and nobody wants you. Come on, that's a lie from the devil. And that nobody cares about you. And that people are just good for nothing. No, because we're to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. So the first thing is we got to love ourselves and who God says we are. You are a blood-bought child of God, born again through His blood. You're a Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled, faith-talking, faith-walking child of the Most High God. You are loved. He loves you, and you love yourself in Him. Now, the Bible says we're not to love ourselves more than we ought to, or to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. But I want you to understand something. When you know who you are in the love of God, it will create a humility inside of your spirit that will bring you to a humble place, because you realize that you wouldn't be anything without the power of God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And so we're to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Now, watch this. Let's go to verse 39. Again, is that where we're at? Verse 39, all right. And the second commandment is you shall love your neighbor as yourself. All right, verse 40 says this. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, I believe we can say it this way, that upon the love, our love for God, and our love for others, hang all the promises of what God has said from the old covenant to the new covenant. Hangs all of them. So even the promise of revival and the pouring out of the Spirit of God hangs upon these two commandments right here. Love God and love others as you love yourself. Love God with all your might and your strength, because that's part of the reviving. Come on. That's part of the reviving of souls, the reviving of lives. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, who's our neighbor? All right? The Greek word is the word plesion, and it means this. It means those close, or those who follow, or a countryman, or a friend, or someone near in living proximity. Now, when it's talking about the body of Christ, it's talking about all of us together right here. We worship in proximity to one another, close. We join together in the body of Christ for one purpose and one vision, and that is to serve the Lord with all of our might and all of our strength. We come together because we all have something to offer in the kingdom of God, because of what God has done for us, that our testimonies together release an anointing of God into the earth. That proves that Jesus Christ is alive and He's still working and moving in the earth today. Hallelujah. You need my testimony. I need your testimony. I need to hear where you came from so that I understand you, and you need to know me so that together we're going, yeah, I get that. We're the body of Christ together. We're serving God together. We're loving the Lord together, and we're loving the lost in vision and faith in relationship to what God said we're supposed to do in these last days. Hallelujah. How can you point anybody to a Jesus that we're not on a habit, that we don't have an alive relationship with? Amen. Amen. How do we point people to a healing God unless we have sought that same God, that Lord of heaven, for healing in our own lives? And I'm not just talking about physical healing. I'm talking about mental and emotional and spiritual healing of the inward man, along with the healing of our bodies. But when you have come to seek a God whom you love with all your heart, and you understand His delivering, healing, anointing power, then you can point someone else with the love of God to the Jesus, to the God who set you free, because you know His power of liberating you and freeing your soul. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap this morning. That's revival. That's fervent revival.
Yes, Lord.
The fervency of the Spirit of God. And he says we're to love our neighbor as ourself. Do you know, we live in an offended world. Do you understand that? We live in an offended world, a selfish, a rebellious world. And believers are to be opposite of the world. Amen. We don't live offended. We live loving. Come on, somebody. We don't live judging. We live with compassion for people. Amen. Because we're serving the Lord God. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. Now he's talking about fervent love, first of all, for the body of Christ. Now let's watch this. Because we can't be ingrown in this either, all right? Or exclusive in this love. Ephesians 4:3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Unity in the Greek translation is the word henata, and it means this. It means oneness. It means oneness of spiritual character. So in other words, the Lord Jesus whom we serve will change and transform us all with his character so that all of us look like he looks. Come on, somebody. That one doesn't have a different character in the body as far as spiritual character than someone else has. The Spirit of God brings us together in the character of Jesus, which makes us in the body of Christ one. We have a oneness of spirit. Elbow your neighbor and say, I'm one with you. Let's go on to verse number 4. And listen, look at what it says. For there is one body. There is one spirit. Just as you were called in one hope of your calling. How many times did it say one in that verse? Three. Let's go on. Verse 5. There's one Lord. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one God. There's one Father of all who is above all and through all and in y'all. Paul was from southern Palestine when he wrote. One. Do you see that? One. One in nature, one in character, one in love, one together. Love the brethren. Love one another with a fervent love. An on-fire love. You know what blesses me more than anything? Is when we gather together to worship in the house, and I know there are part of our body still yet to be coming back to worship with us, and watching live stream today, the most exciting thing that I like to watch is people hug on each other, love on each other, bless one another, pray for one another. How you doing? Can I pray for you? Can I bless you today? Come on, somebody. Amen. The body of Christ. And that's what he's saying. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, oneness. Somebody shout oneness. And in that, Romans 12:9 says this. Says, let love be without hypocrisy. The original King James uses the word dissimulation. In other words, the translation is this. Let love be real. Let it be real. Let it be the reality of the love of heaven that flows through our lives fervently for one another. We legitimately care for one another and love one another with a real divine agape love of the Father. Hallelujah. Love. Now let me tell you, if the body of Christ ever needed the love of God, it's in this day in which we live. You go out and you have a rough week and you come back to the house of God. You need somebody to be your family and to love on you and to care about you and to pray with you. Listen, Freedom Church is that kind of family. Come on, give the Lord praise. Hallelujah. Let love be real. Let's go to Ephesians 2, verse 14. The Word of God says this. Says, for he, speaking of Jesus, for he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition or division between us. Let's read verse 15 as well. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is in the law of commandments, contained with ordinances, so as to create in himself, listen, create in himself one new man from the two, making peace. Now, the culture he's dealing with here was Jew and Gentile culture. The scripture was written to the Ephesians and to help them understand that there was no division between Jew and Gentile. That in worshiping, see, what they did in that culture is they, in their gathering places, they had a wall right down the middle. It was a wall about 4 feet tall, right down the middle, and Jews had to sit on one side, and the Gentiles had to sit on the other side. And they would worship the Lord together that way. And Paul, coming to bring correction, said, look, that is not the way it ought to be. There should be no wall of division down the middle between Jew and Gentile. Or can we say it, let's add a little bit more, than any other color or ethnic background on the face of the globe. In Christ Jesus, those who come into Christ Jesus, he said, Jesus has abolished that wall. He took that wall down. That wall was an enemy. That wall was a division, but he destroyed it. The moment he destroyed the sin on the cross and the temple in Jerusalem was rent, he also tore down every wall of division for the body of Christ. Hallelujah. There is no division. None. He destroyed it. He abolished it in his own flesh, and out of the two, listen closely, so as to create in himself one new man. In Christ Jesus, one new man. Somebody shout, one new man. Now, let's jump down to verse 18, Ephesians chapter 2. It says, for through him then, we all have access by one Spirit to the Father. Somebody say, one Spirit. One Spirit. One Spirit, see, to the Father. Now, I'm going to ask a few people to preach with me right now. So, Lewis, would you come and preach with me? And I want you to stand right over here. And Verdell, would you come, please? Just stand right here. And Verdell, would you stand right here? All right, right next to Lewis. And Leo, would you come, please? Stand right next to Verdell. I want Leo to come. Is there anybody in our body who's from Asian descent or has Asian? Come here. Come on. I want you to stand right here beside Leo. Can you move that way a little bit, gentlemen, just a little bit? Right here. All right, Asian descent. Is there anybody here from this from white descent? Come here, Cheryl. You're all white today. Would you stand right there? No, it's good. We have some men and some ladies here. Now, let me show you what the body of Christ is made up of. Now, Lewis, you're Crow, right?
Yeah.
Right? Other Native American tribes represented here. Do we have Cheyenne, Assiniboine,
Cherokee,
come here, Mohawk, Mohican, all right? I want any of the other Native American tribes come and stand right here, because we got a lot of Native American tribes here, all right? It's all right, we've got, okay, who do you represent?
Rohan.
Oh, and Rogene? Northern Cheyenne, right here. And Hidatsa. And you belong to him, so you might as well stand there.
Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara.
Oh, my goodness. Come on. Bring the whole tribes up here. Over there. Yeah, you can stand there. And what are you?
Sioux and Chippewa.
Come on. We got any Germans here?
Yeah.
Got any Norwegians? I could get everybody up here real easy. I'm Heinz 57, so I cover everybody. But I want to show you something the Spirit of God showed me. I was praying this last week, and I said, Lord, in our body, because what I love about this body is we are cross-cultural, but we're one blood. Come on. And I said, Lord, in our body, it has taken quite a while to bring this kind of unity together in this body. But I said, Lord, what do we all bring? And we can kind of bring most everybody into different categories. The Native Americans represent to us or bring to this body a sensitivity to the Spirit of God that not a lot of other cultures have. Would that be true? Because of your background, the cultural background of the Native Americans and what you have been brought out of culturally and things and the Spirit of God in you, you bring together a sensitivity to the Spirit of God. I'll tell you, when I love to listen to Native Americans pray because they aren't whisperers. If they're going to defeat the devil, they're going to go after the devil. Amen. And conquer the power of the enemy. And then we've got African Americans. Thank you, Verdell, for helping me out. African Americans. What the African American culture brings to the kingdom of God is a liberty of the Spirit to help out a lot of us. In other words, they bring together, I've been to churches that were predominantly Native American, and they are not afraid to praise God. They're not afraid to magnify the Lord. They'll jump and run and dance and do whatever to magnify and glorify the Lord. They have liberty that we all could learn from, come on, and they bring it to the body of Christ. This is cool. They bring it to the house of the Lord. Amen. And then Spanish Americans, Leo, representing our Spanish. And we have we have people in our here from Puerto Rico in our church, and et cetera, and Mexico and on. Pray for Raquel, by the way. She had surgery. She's still recovering. I miss her shouting amen. But see, what? Here's what the Lord showed me, what the Spanish Americans and Mexican Americans and so forth bring to the body of Christ is an enthusiasm. I'm serious. An enthusiasm. I mean, they're not afraid to praise the Lord, but there's always an enthusiasm that comes out of them. Amen. Isn't that right? Isn't that right, Lizzie? And Josie. Come on. An enthusiasm. And they bring it to the body of Christ. They bring it to us. All right? The Asian Americans. Give her a hand. The Lord showed me, I said, Lord, what do they bring? They bring a respect for God. Think about the Asian culture. Because they are extremely respectful. My wife and I, years ago, went to Japan, and one of our sons, Derek, I think, went with us on a missions trip, and I was preaching a crusade over there and so forth. And when we learned in Japan, if you leave any of your belongings anywhere, you can go back to that same spot and find them because nobody will take them. Part of that is because of their previous culture where thieves would get their hands cut off. But that respect for other people's property is still there. And the Asian Americans bring to the kingdom of God when they get saved, they bring this respect for the Lord and a respect for the body and a respect for the house of God. Are you getting this? Now watch, because we're going to mix it all up together in just a moment. Hallelujah. And I said, well, Lord, I was talking to Randy about this. I said, Lord, what do us white folks bring? Because see, we get to eat the African American Indian tacos. We get to eat the cuisine of every culture. But Lord, what do we bring to this whole thing? Here's what I believe the Lord said. We bring a soundness, a stability to the body of Christ. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to see this. This is Freedom Church. There is no color here. There's no division here. Come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is no prejudice here. This is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The kingdom. And here's what proves it. God said He Himself does not look at the outward of man. He looks upon the heart of man. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. He looks at the heart. Now, stay with me. I want to preach this verse. Got to preach Psalm 133. Psalm 133, verse 1. Now, watch this. David said in the scripture, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is. Behold how good, how beautiful, how cheerful, how favored, much pleasure and bountiful is. How good and how pleasant, how delightful, how sweet, how agreeable it is for brethren." For brethren. To dwell together in unity. In oneness. I got to preach this. Because we've got to understand what brethren are. Now, Listen, brethren's a generic word. It also means the women in them. The brethren includes the sisterin. Because brethren isn't a gender thing. What you've got to understand is this, all right? Brethren means this. Brethren means that you've been chosen. See, it's more than a brother. It's more than even a blood brother or a relative. A brethren is, first of all, one that has been chosen by God. The scripture says, you did not choose me, but I have chosen you, and I've ordained you to go forth and to bring forth fruit unto God. Hallelujah. You're chosen. Somebody say, I'm chosen. This is revival to understand this. This is a reviving of our spirit man unto the Lord to get this. We're chosen. The second part of being part of the brethren is covenant. It's covenant. The Native Americans understand back in their far back culture the covenant of blood. They understand covenant. But you see, we're brethren, our sisters, and together in the Lord because we're in covenant with God. He's given us a covenant of His love and a covenant of His promise. And His promise is our blessed hope of the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is coming again. Hallelujah. Brethren, because of covenant. It's a spiritual thing, Burdell. It's in our heart. It's in us. It's the anointing of God within the inner man. That's why He already said in Ephesians, He makes us one. One. Hallelujah. See, it's brethren because of communion. Somebody shout communion. Now, immediately you're thinking taking the bread in the cup. But communion is more than that. Communion has to do with communication. It has to do with fellowship. It has to do with connection. There is a communion in the Spirit of God. God is reviving that in the church. A koinonia of spirit. And you only get to understand that by interacting with somebody and talking with them and sharing with them. And here's how I got saved. Here's how you got saved. Oh, I love your testimony. Awesome. Hallelujah. Together, we are releasing the kingdom. Somebody say communion. It's fellowship. And fellowship isn't, hey, how are you? How you doing? Fellowship is heart to heart. What's Jesus doing in you, Leo? What's the Spirit of God saying to you? Roanne, what's God doing today? That's communion. That's fellowship. Hello? Now watch this. You know, I don't have time to preach that. Okay, spiritual connection. Somebody say spiritual connection. Can't help but come into this house, into this sanctuary, and get spiritually connected with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this verse. Verse number 2 says, all right, let's review 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in oneness. Verse 2, it is like the precious oil. The precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, and running down on the edge of his garments. Now, what we've got to understand is the precious oil. The precious oil, Exodus chapter 20, talks about the oil, the anointing oil, that Moses was to make after the art of the apothecary. It was to be a holy anointing oil. They were to anoint the tabernacle, the ark of the testimony, the table and its utensils, the lampstand and its utensils, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, the laver and its base, and sanctify them so that whoever touched them would be made holy. Aaron and his sons were set apart to minister unto the Lord and were to be anointed with that oil. The anointing, anoint means to rub with oil. I just had a thought, Lewis. I don't have time for that. I just saw this bottle. All right, just envision it. It means to rub with oil, rub with the Spirit of God. It has to do with impartation. It has to do with Holy Spirit empowerment. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together. It's like the oil, the anointing of God. You see what's going on here? You see the anointing of the Holy Spirit that we carry in this body? Come on, praise the Lord. You see the glory of the Lord that this house carries? Everyone anointed with the power of the Spirit of Almighty God, carrying that together in oneness, in relationship with the Lord. Hallelujah. The glory of Jesus. He doesn't stop there. He goes on to say in verse 3, it's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountain of Zion. Zion represents the heavenly Jerusalem. Zion represents heaven coming to earth. Zion represents the glory of the Lord. For he says, there the Lord commanded the blessing. You realize how much blessing we got going on in this place? Because God has blessed everyone, every culture who brings to the body of Christ the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God in oneness. And it's out of that unity that the Spirit of God is released. Come on, get on your feet and praise God right now. Come on, praise Him. There He's commanded the blessing, even life, forevermore.